time to time and think that we're pretty great stuff. The fact of the matter is, compared to our God, we're nothing. And we need Him all the time, and I appreciate that reminder. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to leave you seated. We're going to read probably about 15 or 16 verses tonight, and I just want to share some things. I don't know why I use that. I want to preach some things that God put on my heart this week and how He helped me, and hopefully they'll be a help to you. And, you know, as I was thinking this week, just kind of the week in review as to how the Lord spoke to my heart, and the first 6 months of the year for at least preachers like me, they're running the circles that I run, are normally the most busiest months. It's the time when the fuse gets the shortest. It's just the busyness of the church calendar and of preaching and going and doing and things like that that are sometimes the most challenging. And this last week, I was able to pull away for a few days and really listen to the Holy Spirit of God, and He really spoke to my heart. And I thought, you know, there's probably some room for all of us to make some mid-year adjustments, to look at these posters again and say, oh yeah, I remember what our theme is, it's renew. And we can start the year off strong, but how many realize it's not just about how you start, it's about how you finish. And sometimes on the way, we need to be very careful and aware that these things that we have up here, these renewal of our commitment and our heart and vision and our faith, don't become static. It's more than just art on the wall. It's there with a purpose in mind, and that's to remind us that from time to time, we need to step back and take some inventory. And that's what this last week was for me, and I hope it be a blessing to you tonight, and I want to read some things and remind us all over again of this matter of renewal. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, follow along if you will as I read, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Boy, I like that, those three words, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You kind of get the idea in the first seven verses that if anything good happens, Paul does not want to take any credit. You kind of get the idea that Paul's life was spent deflecting praise and not wanting to draw attention to himself, but to say, hey, listen, I'm just a human being. Anything that God's given to me is of His amazing grace and tender mercy, and I want everybody to know it's not for me, it's for His sake that I'm doing these things. The Bible says in verse 8, we're troubled on every side and yet not distressed. We are perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Now that's the second time that he said it in 16 verses. For which cause, the cause of the glory of God, the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for, Lord, just the day that you've given to us. And God, I want to thank you for my kids, and thanks for letting me be a daddy. Thanks for the privilege and the responsibility of having children. And Lord, I cherish every one of them. And God, I certainly have never, ever, nor profess to ever be a perfect dad, but I certainly would want to believe that I would be a progressing dad, that I'd be getting better at it. And Father, I pray for every father here that you would help us all to have wisdom, to be able to, Lord, have the compassion of our Savior and a love for Jesus Christ and the wisdom of our God to be better dads, to be more like you. And Father, I pray that you'd bless every home. Now, God, tonight, as we've opened this passage now, I confess to you again that I need you, and I pray for your Holy Spirit's help, that you'd first help me to be emptied, anything that would be self-sufficient or vain, so that I could have the filling of your precious Holy Spirit, simply, Lord, to be a vessel unto honor and be used as such to preach your message to us, your people. And I pray that every one of us would be carefully listening to the Holy Spirit's still small voice within us, and as you speak, I pray not only we would listen, but that we would follow. At your beckoning, that we would yield. I pray that you would be glorified. I thank you for our church. I thank you for giving me a place to serve. And I thank you, Father, for the blessing of watching people grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight would be just another night of decision where we could go forward together. And Lord, that we would minimize the steps that we as individuals take back so that as a congregation we could take great strides and go forward for the glory and honor of our Savior. And I pray, God, that we would take these three little words mentioned twice by the Apostle Paul, we faint not, and that we would keep on going in the direction you've called us to go. We pray that you'd bless our time now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I researched and found out that by the way, has anybody in here ever run a marathon 26 miles? Anybody ever? One person? Wow. Was it hard? It was brutal. Have you only done it one time? Will you ever do it again? kind of like moving. You never want to do it again, right, Brother Austin? You move one time, that's good enough for me. I researched and I found that when you run a 26-mile marathon, they say that water stations with volunteers there with cups of water are supposed to be stationed at mile 2, and then at every 2 miles after that. So that basically you have like 13 different water stations. That's 13 different times of refreshment, if you will, of the opportunity to intake water so that you can sustain. In fact, I did just a small amount, a few minutes more of research and found out that some guys like about every 5K like to switch it up between water and Gatorade, and then they don't take anything from about 5 to 16, and then it's 16, then they get it 18 and 21. All the way in, they take up some more, but there's some kind of, you know, runner's formula or something that they try to use. But nevertheless, I did find out that along the way of these marathons races, that there are stations for being hydrated to run the race. Now, I suppose we understand tonight that everyone gets thirsty from time to time, especially in heat like today. I mean, man alive, I came up here and it was 103 degrees outside, and I thought, this is ridiculous. I pay taxes so that they lower the temperature around here. What in the world's going on? It was just unusually warm. How many experienced the heat this week? I mean, it was just bad. And it's during times of heat that we, of course, need to take in more water. Even if you don't neglect your water intake, heat, stress, diet, and more physical activity can all lead to a necessity for more. Your body needs water. I thought about that today. We went out to lunch for Father's Day, and everybody in our group all ordered water. And I thought, you know, this is kind of weird. I don't know, maybe it's a California thing, but a lot of people drink water now. I mean, a lot. How many just on a, let's say not abnormally, but on a semi-normal basis, when you go out, you order water and that's all you drink. That's amazing to me. When I grew up, none of us drank water. I mean, it was talked about, but, you know, you sit in class and they tell you you have to drink this many waters. And you're like, yeah, can I have a Pepsi, please? I'd like to have a Pepsi and then a root beer after that and then a root beer float after that. You just never did it. I was raised in the desert. I would go play basketball, Brother Jay, for hours. And I would sweat like nobody's business. And you know what I'd do? I'd go to 7-Eleven, get a big gulp Pepsi. And I'd just drink it and go, man, that was refreshing. Let's go do it again. And I never dehydrated one time. I don't know why. But water now is kind of the normal, right? I mean, wherever we go, that's what we're doing. We're a little more, I suppose, diet or health conscious, and we take in more water. Now think this, taking that same thought of the necessity for water for physical life, taking that same thought and transferring it into other areas of life, considering what we need by way of refreshment. We'll use the word renewal since that's what our theme is. Every marriage from time to time needs a renewal. Every marriage from time to time needs to pull over and make some assessment and then take a drink. Every 2 miles sounds good to me. Every relationship in our lives, whether it's children or whether it's a spouse, they all need refreshment. Every Christian needs a refresher from time to time. Every Christian needs on a regular basis. For Paul, he said, look, I've got all that God's given me in this earthen vessel, and I know the only thing that's going to keep me from fainting is renewal. Day by day, I want to make sure that I'm intaking what's necessary for my life to continue to go on for Christ's sake, and he said, even for your sake. Every Christian needs a refresher. And certainly every pastor needs to be renewed. This last week, I was able to attend a special conference down in Lancaster. And as I was sitting there, the first night, I realized something that I suppose I needed more of renewal than I ever thought I did. Every song, every special, every sermon seemed to be preached right to me. Every invitation, I felt the tug of God's Holy Spirit. Every needed friend that I didn't even know that I had or needed, God brought along my path. And to be honest, for 3 days, though physically I was exhausted, spiritually, I felt like I had been gulping cool, refreshing water from the springs in the desert. I literally felt like from the time we stepped foot in church at 8 o'clock in the morning and to the time we exited the last amen at about 8:30 at night and didn't get off the campus many times until about 10 o'clock, I just felt like all I had been doing was sitting next to the still waters of the streams in the desert, and I had just been drinking all day and all night long. For me, the Lord so ministered to my heart, I felt like there were several things that the Lord renewed for me. I felt like as I left there the other day, I felt like I renewed my love for God. And that may not be or sound like a big deal to you. And you may say, well, Pastor, you're supposed to have a great love for God. Can I remind us that we all are supposed to have a great love for God? In fact, God said, I am the Lord thy God. Love me with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the reason that I want to have a greater love, the reason that I'm so glad that God helped me and I feel like my love for God was greater is because that love for God impacts my love for my wife. My love for God impacts my love for my children. It impacts my love for my family and even for our church family. I mean, let's just get down to facts tonight, folks. If you don't have a strong love for God, you probably don't love your family like you ought to love your family. Everything gets skewed because now all of a sudden God seemingly owes you something. Instead of realizing God's already given you everything. Felt like the Lord renewed my love. I felt like I walked away from there with a renewed compassion for the lost. On Saturday, while I was out knocking the doors of one of our deacons, I experienced a boldness, as we said today, a freedom, a liberty, like I hadn't experienced in a very long time. Why? Because I felt like I'd been drinking for a while. I felt like I had gone to the waters until I had come away refreshed. I felt like I could go every single door, and regardless of what was done or regardless of what I said, I was completely free of constraint, even of my own fear, by God's amazing grace. I felt like God renewed my faith, and I don't mean just faith in God. I mean my faithfulness toward God. Twice in this passage of Scripture, and I didn't even plan on saying this, but the Lord put it on my heart twice. Paul says, we faint not. We faint not. And I just felt like, you know, you can't have faithfulness without having a faith. You're never going to be faithful if I'm not believing in all that God has for me. And I just walked away from this conference going, you know, Lord, I feel like you've pushed the reset button in my life. And I began to read these verses. The Bible says in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In verse 8, we're troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down and not destroyed. What's he saying? I'm not going to quit. The alternative is not even an option for me. I'm not going to faint. I'm going to be renewed day by day so that doesn't ever happen to me. And I felt like that this week. I felt, by the way, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. I didn't go down there going, oh, woe is me. I'm going to quit. I'm going to resign. My resignation letter is already signed in the back of my Bible. I've never done it. Never going to do that. In fact, to be honest, I didn't think, I mean, I knew I needed to go hear preaching. I didn't think I needed it that much. I mean, look, I read my Bible, I pray, and I'm not going to lie, I'm always, by the end of May, they're halfway through June, I'm always somewhat physically drained, and I get it, and we need to come apart so that we don't come apart, but I went down there not even realizing how much I really needed all that God had planned. And I came away renewed. I came away refreshed. I came away with a renewed faith. I came away with a renewed commitment to preach the Word of God. When I look at this verse and I go back and look, we're teaching this on Wednesday night. Don't take this without taking the context of Paul's life. Paul preached the Word of God. We're studying the book of Acts, and in this first missionary journey, man, he's going to get it. In fact, here shortly, he's going to be stoned and left for dead. And yet, what did he do? Just kept on preaching. Oh, he went to Cyprus. He preached the first time. Nobody got saved. What did he do? Kept on preaching. Moved 150 miles west. He preached and one person got saved. Whoopee! One person. Well, all heaven rejoiced that day. And was he discouraged? I don't know, but what did he do? Kept on preaching. He went 350 miles north and went up to Pisidia, Antioch, and he preached, and everybody was flipping out. He had some people saved and the other people not saved, and they stirred him up and tried to cause all kinds of problems. He was distressed, but he wasn't perplexed. Took off. What did he do? Next day, he just kept on preaching. By the way, that's going to be the whole plot and pattern of Paul's life. It doesn't matter what you do to me, we faint not. Doesn't matter what my surroundings are, I'm not going to faint. Instead of fainting, I'm going to renew my faith. Instead of quitting, I'm just going to keep going. I don't care if Barnabas quits. I don't care if John Mark quits. I don't care if Peter quits. I don't care if Silas quits. I'm going on. That's the kind of guy I want to be around. Let's be honest, that's the kind of guy I want to be like. I don't want to quit. There are far too many Christians quitting. I don't want to be one. I don't want to be a statistic. And I don't think anybody in a Sunday night does either. I'm just simply saying tonight, as I thought about my experience with the Lord, I began to go through the names and the faces of our church family, and I began to wonder if there's anyone else who needs renewal. I wonder if there's anyone else that it just feels comfortable and right to sit in church and sleep. And they need renewal. I wonder if there's anybody else that it just became static, whether the preacher's jumping up and down or whether we decorate the walls. Or sometimes I think to myself, if we came in, there's some Christians that don't pay attention so much that we could change the carpet, the pews, paint the walls, and they wouldn't even notice. Because when they come to church, it's all about them anyway. And pretty soon, if it becomes all about you, you won't even be here anymore. And I just thought about that. I thought, you know, God, I'm not the only one. Certainly, I'm not the only one that needs to step back from themselves and take a spiritual view and ask the Holy Spirit to search my heart and say, now, God, I don't even know if my own deceitful heart can tell if I need renewal, but I'm going to put myself in the place so that you can tell me whether I do or not. And if I do, I want to get renewed. I just thought if I needed to get some mid-year adjustments, that perhaps there's somebody else. Certainly it would be much better to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when we get out of balance. I was saying to our Sunday school class today, a tightrope walker, when he walks across the tightrope, if he begins to get out of balance, you don't see him do any major jerks. You see him do small corrections, back and forth. He's perfectly in balance because he realizes that if he goes one way too much, it's going to lead to a fall. Certainly, it would be much better for us to be sensitive to the Spirit so that when we do get out of balance, God can help us make the corrections and make minor corrections here and there. But too often, I'm afraid, people get too busy and they get so wrapped up in life that procrastination wins the better part of effort. They get so wrapped up in the immediate nasty now and now that they forget that they're supposed to be living toward the sweet by and by. They They think, well, tomorrow's another day, and tomorrow's another day. My Bible says my life is a vapor, and I don't have any idea if I'll see tomorrow. Like Bonhoeffer said today, hey, listen, if Jesus comes tomorrow, then he'll come tomorrow. Today, I've got to work. So I want to be a help tonight. I want to be an encouragement to somebody who may be here and needs to lift up their eyes. Your affections have been set somewhere else, and they're supposed to be above. Your eyes are set on someone else, and it's supposed to be on Jesus and someone who needs renewal. I want to help them. Maybe you're here and you're like me and you need a mid-year adjustment. What would need to happen in your heart tonight before you could be refreshed? Now, look, this isn't philosophy 101. I don't believe in philosophy. I believe in the Bible and the Spirit of God. I don't need to hear man's view on man's view. I need to hear God's view on man. Amen. What would it take tonight? What is it that in reality you need in order to have revival? Well, first of all, you'd have to come to the conclusion that you actually need to be spiritually renewed. Don't you agree? You'd have to say, I actually do need to be renewed. I want you to notice Paul's words, notice his words again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look in verse 7. But we have this treasure, notice what he says, in earthen vessels. It seems like Paul confesses that one of the drawbacks to the spiritual life is the physical body we live in. I'm a little jealous. Miss Melba had surgery this last week on her eyes. And she's not that much older than I am, but just a little bit. And they told her that she no longer had to wear glasses. And I said, that is not fair. She said, well, maybe you could have surgery too. She's just a little bit older than I am, and she doesn't have to wear glasses anymore. And I wish I didn't have to wear glasses anymore. I can't see most of you. Then maybe that's what I need to do from now on, preach without glasses. The fact of the matter is, Paul says, hey, listen, yeah, I've got all this spiritually, and it seems like what he's saying is, though I've inherited a lot from God, the biggest drawback is the body that I live in. Fights me every single day. It's wearing out. How many in here are old enough to say, sometimes when I get up in the morning, I don't feel like getting up in the morning. My body reminds me of my age. Come on now, we're going to have a support group after church, right? All that he was exposed to physically and all that imposed upon him physically, he recognized. Look at verse 8. We're troubled on every side and yet not distressed. We're perplexed. And the Bible says in verse 9, they're persecuted and they're cast down. Always bearing, verse 10, about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. But through the Spirit of God, Paul recognized his daily need for spiritual renewal. It's almost like he says, okay, I know this is what I'm supposed to do, and yet physically I'm taking all this kind of stuff in physically. The only way I'm going to be able to handle it physically is if I get right spiritually. It seems like it's connected. That he's saying, listen, you're going to faint if you don't make the connection. If you don't understand that your physical body is connected to the Holy Spirit of God, you are going to quit. Not only are you going to burn out physically, but you won't have enough left spiritually. Through the Spirit of God, he recognizes his daily need of spiritual renewal, and you get the sense that if Paul hadn't renewed his heart before the Lord, his inner man, every day, that he wasn't going to make it. Maybe tonight, that's you. Maybe you feel tired physically. Maybe you're tired spiritually. The first step to spiritual renewal is to recognize it. Now, in your notes, there's only 2 points tonight, but I really don't know how long this message is going to be. Now, just think about it. What needs to be renewed in your heart? Now, Dr. J. Elder Cummings said, and you may have this in your notes, in almost every case, the beginning of new blessing is a new revelation of the character of God. More beautiful, more wonderful, more precious. On Wednesday night, we spent a good amount of time talking just about God and talked about the love of God. We talked about a lot more than that before we got to the love of God and going through some of the things that he declares and all that he declares. Listen, all that God declares to us about him in God's perspective is supposed to be enough for all of us. it's supposed to be enough. And yet how many times do we either think or run into people that say, well, it's not enough. I know that's the what you've revealed, but I need more. Moses said that and he didn't get it. I want to see you. God said, you can't, but I want to see you. No, no man's lived, but I want to see you. God said, okay, here's the part you're going to get. Very little. And that was enough to change Moses' life. And that's all that he got. Paul said, I recognize I need spiritual renewal. Do you? I want you to look through these things. This may or may not be you. But what part of these blocks that I put on here that you need to check off for yourself tonight? Look at, do you need your love for God to be renewed? What would it take for you to have the love of God renewed in your heart? How about your heart to serve the Lord? How's your compassion for the lost? How's your commitment to faithfulness? That is, your faithfulness to the Word of God and prayer or to your family relationships or your tithes and your offerings to God's house, to soul winning. How's your faith in God? What I want you to do is before the invitation or at the invitation, check something. By the Spirit of God, what needs to happen in my life? What do I need renew? And I hope that nobody would say, oh, I'm good to go. What part of your life? If David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting. If you're like me and you need to make some mid-year adjustments, something on this paper resonated the moment I said it. How's your love for the Lord? How's your heart to serve Him? How's your compassion for the lost? How's your commitment to faithfulness? How is it that your faith in God is exactly where it needs to be? Are you trusting God with your family or with your spouse? How's your faith when it comes to your future or relationships with people? Do you honestly trust God in that every relationship given to you is designed to make you a better Christian? God says, look, I don't make any mistakes. We already covered that. So when He ushers you into an opportunity with people, do you actually trust that God wants to use you with them and them for you? Are you trusting God? Do you recognize after the first 6 months of this year that trials are designed by God to make you dependent upon Him? They're not to drive you away. They're to make you lean, and in my case, to be cast in the arms of the everlasting God. They're designed to make you stronger. Yet many times, by our unbelief, what do trials make us? Well, they make us depressed. We start thinking about the problem instead of thinking about the answer. By the way, Jesus is always the answer. We start thinking about how big the wall is or how big the problem is. We get depressed. We get distressed. We get distraught. We get distracted. That's why I love these verses. In verse 8, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed. We may not understand, but we're not in despair. Why, Paul? Because God knows everything. One of the greatest attributes of our God is not only that He is, but that He knows. Before you even ask, your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of, according to Matthew 6. He said, yeah, I may be troubled on every side, but I'm not stressed about it because God's in control. I may not understand everything. I may get perplexed from time to time, but I'm not in despair because God knows all that I don't know, and I'm okay with that. Are you okay with not knowing what God knows? Are you okay with just knowing that the things that He's revealed to you are revealed to us for us to obey, but the secret things belong to Him? Are you okay with that? If you're seeking renewal, if you sense that you need to make some mid-year adjustments, then let me ask you to check which box pertains to you. Don't do it in haste, and don't do it, I hope my spouse sees this so they think that I'm spiritual. That would be a waste of your time and your spouse's. Instead, look at the list for what it is. And just be honest with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, if you want renewal, you've got to recognize your need for spiritual renewal. And then secondly, you need to recognize what your responsibility towards spiritual renewal is. Listen, you can say this is what needs to happen and not have a plan for it, and it's not going to happen. Everybody wants to have revival. We want this, instant results, instant spirituality, minimum effort, and a lot of results. That's what we want. We want to be able to find the microwave with the popcorn button so we don't have to push any other buttons. I mean, good night. I went to a couples retreat for the game that my wife and I won. We got an automatic pepper grinder. And I thought to myself, how lazy have we become when we can't do this at the dinner table anymore? Just, actually, it's kind of cool. It's got a little flashlight on it in case you're in the dark and you're like, what am I peppering anyway? Is it coming out? I'm not going to lie, it's kind of cool. But it's not necessary. That's kind of what we want. We want the cool in the Christian life without the effort in the Christian life. Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about. We all, if there's one plague in Christianity, it's apathy. Let's be honest. The sluggard is not a hero in the text. He's never looked on as like, huh, son, if you could be anybody, be a sluggard. I'm not talking about Babe Ruth. I'm talking about the lazy man. You see, if you realize your need for spiritual renewal, you're going to have to strap in and hold on and say, okay, God, if that's what you revealed to me, that the love of God has gone cold in my heart, if you revealed to me that my faithfulness is waning, if you've revealed to me that there's a part of my heart that's grown cold, dark, and black, then I want to do whatever's necessary. I want to own the responsibility. I want to have renewal at any cost, because that's when it comes. At a cost. At a cost of my comfortability. At a cost of my pride. At a cost of my own vanity. God says, I want to get into the heart of man. My eyes are going everywhere. I'm looking for someone that I can show myself strong through. But he's got to have a perfect heart. And I will tell you, the perfect heart is a renewed heart. It's a heart that God sees with no obstacles. It's a clean slate. It is saying, God, here's a blank check for my life. You put in the amount. You tell me what you want. It's one thing to have the Holy Spirit of God remind me of my spiritual needs. Then it's quite another to take his counsel and to make plans that are going to guide me toward the still waters and the green pastures that I'm going to find rest and renewal for my soul. If you're like me, you need to make a mid-year adjustment on your own checklist. And if you mark that, then you recognize that not only you have a need for renewal in your heart, but there are also some things that the Lord, I want to share with you that he used in my life that I think would be a help in yours. And perhaps, the beginning tonight and over the next, who knows how long it will take for you, you could be renewed. You could have, like we sang at the beginning of the service, revival. That's what revival is. Revival is not some Pentecostal outbreak with people running around and shouting. That's not revival. Revival is renewal. It's a viving again of the life that God's given to me. If you want renewal, at least for me, you're going to have to submerge yourself into God's word. And I put in the first person there because you're going to have to check it. You're going to have to check it to see if you're willing to do it. Okay, so on the top, you said, okay, here's what needs to be renewed. It doesn't matter if it's one or if it's all of them. You're going to have to submerge yourself in the Word of God. I worshiped God this last week through song for about an hour on Monday night before I listened to my pastor preach to me for about another hour. That happened every night for 3 nights in a row. Then Tuesday and Wednesday morning, beginning at 8 a.m., I listened to preaching and teaching from God's word to about noon, and then we ate. Then for another hour after lunch, I listened to a man of God give a session pertinent to a pastor's heart. And I realized, it's not about the man. It's about what he's saying. It's the message that was renewing me. It wasn't his energy. It wasn't his personality. It wasn't his suit. It wasn't the backdrop. It was the message of God. It was God's word taken into by the Holy Spirit of God and preached as the will of God, and as the Spirit of God transferred it to me, I thought, I needed that. And so I said some things. Amen. Hallelujah. Preach. That's good. You say, wait a minute, were you saying that for other people? No, I was saying it for me. I needed to remind this earthen vessel that what was being said was right. and I needed it. Perhaps you realize tonight that you've been attending services without anticipating God's word for your life. In other words, it's been motion without progress. You see, if we're not careful, every service becomes static. Every time we open the Bible, it becomes static. We're just going through the motions, but we're not making any progress. Somebody help me. You know what I'm talking about is real. This is everyday life in this earthen vessel. The greatest hindrance to the Spirit of God is this flesh. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If I want to have renewal, if you want to have renewal, you're going to have to submerge yourself in some form or fashion in the Word of God. When it's preached, be there. When it's taught, be there. When you open it up, be there. Take it in. Listen to it on the radio. Whatever you got to do. But get under the Word of the living God. It'll make a difference in your life. The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But to us which are saved, because we have the Spirit of God, it's the power of God, according to 1 Corinthians 1. It is designated and ordained by God to do something in every one of our lives. That's why we have a revival meeting that goes from Sunday to Wednesday. Why? Because Sunday isn't enough for most of us. Another Brother Farrell or Brother Getch will be this next January, or whoever comes into this pulpit and stands and preaches. I don't want to be the one that sits there like a lump of coal and just says, I dare you to bless me. Go ahead on, preach, carry on, waggle your jacket, Brother Dave, do whatever you got to do. Entertain me, but don't touch my heart. Let me jump up and run a lap and shout amen, but don't expect me down at the altar. That's not anticipating anything. That's not saying, God, here I am. I need you. That's taking into consideration everything that goes on before that message. That's why when I sing, I want to sing at the top of my lungs, because I don't want any distractions. I want God to know that's my heart. When we sang that song today, Behold Our God, I love that song. My soul, I love that song. Behold Our God. I'll tell you this. When you behold your God, it changes things. When you behold Him in the preaching of the Word of God, when you behold Him in your reading of the Word of God, it changes everything. Because this is not my bias. This is God's bias. This is God's Word about me, and God's Word about my life, and God's Word about my heart, not my opinion. I needed that. And I'm so glad. You know, you go down there and you could fuss. Man, I don't know, what do we got to go to church at 8 o'clock and sit here for 3.5 hours? My back's killing me and all this. And then we go eat and then come back at 1:30 and listen to more. I mean, how much teaching and preaching can you possibly, do you possibly need? Apparently it was a lot, because I got all of it. Submersed myself in the preaching of the Word of God. You know, we do well to be here when the doors are open. Amen. Now we can all say amen because we're all here on Sunday night. But how many more Sunday nights are we going to be here? How many more Sunday nights before we decide not to be here? Come on, it's just nobody here but us tonight. The reality is, you have to understand, you cannot make the statement, we faint not, without gaining renewal day by day. The Lord help me, I just put myself under the preaching, and I said in the very first service, God, whatever you have for me this week, I am here. And I want you to speak to my heart. I need you to speak to my heart. And I said that, and I felt like saying to myself, I hope you meant that. I hope that was sincere. And apparently he was. Because every message rang like a clarion call right to my heart. If I want to have renewal, I've got to submit myself or submerge myself into God's word. Secondly, I've got to submit myself to God through prayer. I'm going to tell you something tonight. One of the sweetest times for me during the whole conference is during the invitation. Always has been. Times when I would fall on my face before God and deal with what He had placed on my heart, whether it was sin, whether it was a stewardship, whether it was a friendship, a relationship, or a problem, or a burden. And I realized that at different times when you're sitting down at the altar and you're praying and you look over and you realize you don't have any problems. Went down to the altar one night and I was just down bearing my heart to God, and I just felt like I needed to cry out to God, and was praying and praying and praying and praying and just sharing burdens and sharing prayer requests. And then I look over to my right. Dr. Don Sisk is on his face before God. Miss Virginia Sisk is about to die. The tumor's so big in her brain, she can't see anymore. They just celebrated 2 weeks ago their 65th wedding anniversary. I looked over at that dear man crying out to God, and I said, God, I have no problems. Compared to that, I have no business sharing any complaint of my heart. God, this man's wife is going to die. He's down here because it's a reality. He may not even make it back. And I thought, God, I love you. And I realize I'm not supposed to compare myself with other people, but that was a sobering moment. If there's anybody that could have quit, it could have been Job, but he didn't. Though he slay me, I will maintain my ways before him. The invitation to me is a precious time of prayer because it fuels my prayer life. You know what happens? What happens is I go down to the altar and I deal with my own soul before God. And then I get up, and the next time I kneel before God, the Holy Spirit says, remember when we talked? Remember when you were down there and you said those things to me? Do you remember that? Because I want to talk to you some more about him. I want to make sure that we're still on the same page. It fuels my prayer life. Why? Because I've humbled myself. And in my earnestness, at the moment when God was speaking to me, is the most honest that I'll ever be. So that when I'm by myself with nobody else around, God says, I want that Kyle back. That's the prayer life I want. I'm a firm believer in this principle. As a Christian, you are what you are only when you are down on your knees alone with God. In other words, I'm no better a Christian than according to the time I spend with God in prayer. Doesn't that kind of hurt a little bit? It's a little convicting, isn't it? I'm no better than I am. I will never make any more progress than the progress I make on my knees. You know what that tells me? It tells me I need to renew my prayer life. I need to submit myself to God in prayer. If I want renewal, thirdly, I need to subject myself to godly, encouraging relationships. I'm so thankful for godly friends that I have today. Different pastors all over the country, really over the world. Different professors that I've had who not only want to say hello, hey, how's the family? Wow, is that your grandbaby? Is this Ashley? Is that Austin? I remember when. That's all wonderful. But I love friends that will ask me how I'm doing when I tell them they listen. They care. They look into your eyes, and the moment that you begin to tear up, they tear up because they feel the hurt. They know exactly what you're going through. They know exactly the hurdles you're running over. Then they just pray with you. Those are the friends that I cherish the most. Those are the friends that'll just, the ones that I love are the ones that no matter what you're saying, they'll just grab you and just start praying. And your heart just says, man, this is the best friend I've ever had. Someone who loves me that much. These are the men who come alongside to make me better. Men I can confess my faults to. By the way, James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know what means a whole lot to me is when these preachers, even if I haven't seen them in a very long time, say to me, I'm going to be praying for you. Men that I haven't spoken to in over a year and probably will not speak to again in a year will say, I promise you, I'm putting you on the top part of my prayer list and I'm going to pray for you. Do you know what that means? It means everything to me. it means that there's going to be somebody else that's beseeching the Father for me. Asking, begging for wisdom, asking for grace. I want to be around people like that. You know, we've got some great people in this room. You do well to subject yourself to a godly relationship. Someone that will help you to be a better Christian. I'm not talking about somebody that'll just make you feel better about yourself. And there's a time for that. I'm not talking about somebody that's just going to stay surface. I'm talking about somebody that will encourage you in the Lord. Somehow we've gotten away from that. And listen, if we're not careful, we'll be a friendly church, but we won't be a very spiritual church. Nothing wrong with being friendly. Nothing wrong with having a fellowship time. Nothing wrong with welcoming visitors. But there's going to come a time where if we're not careful, that's all we care about. It's just everybody feeling good about everybody that's here instead of, hey, I noticed that you didn't seem yourself today. Is everything okay? And by the way, that's not them butting in your business. If somebody came to me and approached me with that spirit, I'd think that person loves me. One of the best things that I have learned that people help, that are helped to them, is how can I pray for you? How is it that I can pray for you? Is everything okay? Now, they may not want to open up to me at that point. They may want to do it later. They may not want to at all. But if there's a way that I can pray, it means the world to them. Knowing that somebody else is praying for you, that's the kind of friend. I want a friend that's reading their Bible. I want a friend that's in church. I want a friend that has a godly spirit. I want a friend that's serving the Lord. I want a friend that said, I'm not going to faint either. I want a friend that's going to help me stay in the fight, and I've got some part in helping them stay in the fight so we can go somewhere for the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting myself and subjecting myself before godly relationships, and then let me just say, I need to subordinate myself completely to the will of God. If I really want renewal, I've got to take care of business. I've got to say, okay, it's not just about, okay, we're just going to pretend that we're really spiritual. No, no, no. God says, I want business out of you. I want you to be serious. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I have got to subordinate myself completely to the will of God. That's when renewal begins to take place. One thing that will wear you out as a Christian is living contrary to God's will in your life. It will wear you out kicking against the pricks. It will wear you out because anyone living outside of God's will is fighting against God. Just ask Saul how that went for him. King Saul. Ask Saul, who became Paul, how that went for him. Ask Samson. If you're in need of renewal, ask yourself, is there some area of my life, Lord, that I'm not fully surrendered to you in? See what the Lord says when you ask him to discern your thoughts. Are you kicking against the pricks tonight? Because you'll never have his peace until you're settled in his will. You'll never have rest walking around in the wilderness of sin. They never entered into the rest. Why? Because they resisted. If you need to make some adjustments tonight, I hope and pray that you'll make them. You may need to make an appointment for counsel. You may need to make some amends with a friend in this room. I don't know what you need to do. I don't know what you checked. God knows. You may need to have some conversations with your family tonight. I don't know. But I do know there's this. We all need to make regular stops at the rest areas of our life, as the Lord provides. I'm told that by regulation, most states have in their engineering that a rest area is supposed to be about every 30 minutes of driving. It's supposed to be. Seemingly, they're never there when you need them. When's the next rest area? 56 miles. I thought, now you guys are going to be like, that pastor lied. I'm just telling you what I read. I have a Wikipedia. No, I'm kidding. Supposed to be every 30 miles. Sometimes I read in the state of Virginia, I believe, there was something like, I don't know, some crazy number that were closed all over the state, and the public went bananas. I mean, like 30 out of 49 were closed, and they were like, what in the world is going on? And they opened them all back up again. We need to pull over sometimes. We need to get out, stretch our legs, and wake up. We need to not get so fatigued we can't make it down the road. Is anybody hearing me tonight? We've got some things that need to get done for the Lord. And they don't get done without being renewed. That entire passage, Paul says, hey, listen, every day I wake up in this vessel and it hinders me, but I don't let it control me. Every day I wake up, I'm going to renew myself. Every day I wake up, I'm going to trust that God's going to give me the grace to do what I need to do for His sake and for yours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight, and we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for renewal. I thank You personally for what You've done for me. And God, I wish and I hope and I pray that You do it for everybody in this room. I don't know what they checked. I don't know where hearts are, but You do. Now, I'm just going to ask You in Jesus' name to do a work, a renewing work, a reviving work, a refreshing work. Holy Spirit of God, would You fall fresh on us tonight? For every heart that's hurting, for every heart that's perhaps even hardened, would You, by the Holy Spirit's precious power, just break down that wall? Give them a sense of their need tonight. And I pray that You'd provide that renewal for them. God, it may not happen just in one night, and I'm not going to assume that it's going to happen in one night. But it may happen tomorrow morning. It may happen Tuesday morning or Wednesday night when we come for classes. It may happen between now and next Sunday or even next Sunday, because all this week has been saturated through the Word of God and prayer. I don't know. But I know this. If we faint not, we will be renewed. And where we're renewed, we will not faint. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking, I wonder if You'd be willing to say tonight by the uplifted hand, Pastor, I checked at least one box under that first point of something that God told me that I needed renewal. How many would say, Pastor, that's me? If that's you, just slip up your hand. I checked at least one box, at least one. Okay, you put your hands down. Thank you. How many would say, Pastor, I checked at least two boxes that I need renewal? How many would say that? Pastor, here's my hand. I checked at least two boxes. How many would say, Pastor, I checked more than two boxes? Here's my hand. Pray for me. How many would say that was me? Anybody like that? You put your hands down. How many would say, now, Pastor, you know that I've checked these boxes, but I also check the boxes that I need to have this area of my life renewed. I've checked every single box on my responsibility. Would You pray for me that God would be merciful to me and grant me a renewed spirit because of my endeavor in these next several days? I checked every box in my responsibility. Pray for me. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand tonight? Anybody? All right? Very good. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to do business with God. I'm not going to say one word after I'm done praying. But if God's spoken to your heart about areas that need to be renewed, I wonder if you'd visit this old-fashioned altar tonight and just before the Lord, ask Him. Ask Him for what you need. Maybe forgiveness. You may be down there a long while, like I was a couple of nights, just sharing your heart with the Lord. But I think it'd be worth our time tonight. I think it'd be worth it for you. And then ask Him, Lord, will You help me and remind me tomorrow? If You tarry and You let me get up, will You speak to my heart all over again? We're not looking for an emotion, but we are looking for progress. We are looking for renewal. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I do pray now for this invitation every hand that was raised for various reasons. You know their needs, God. You know where they live. You know every heart. You know every decision. You know every word that has been said. You know it all. God, you know every need, every burden. I pray tonight for renewal. Would you please help us as your church? Would you help us? Would you help us be real Christians? Would you help us, God, to be sincere? Would you help us to be humble? Would you give us more grace? Would you forgive us where we failed you? Would you grant us tonight a sensitive spirit? God, please renew our hearts. I'm so grateful for what you did for me. I would that I could do it for them, but I can't. Only you can. Would you please help us, God, revive our hearts in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known in wrath. Remember mercy, I pray in Jesus' name. With heads bowed.